Friends, last night we spoke about the utterly perfect love. God's love poured out utterly perfectly. We were reminded that experiences of God's utterly perfect love is a demonstration of our permitting that to happen, our permitting it to be recognized. It's not self-generated. And so relentless is God in his pursuit of us, that's of you and of me, that his utterly perfect love would even take shape through his church in the sacraments and in the sacrament of his Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. There are a great number of people who live and who die without reflecting at all upon the state in which they find themselves. They take things as they come and they take things as they go and they follow their inclinations, their desires, as far as they have the opportunity to do so. And perhaps we can even recall ourselves living this way, principally guided by pleasure and pain, not reason, not principle, not conscience. They don't seek to interpret the world in which they live, to come to understand it. That is, they're not even concerned with what understanding really means. Several years ago, I was on a large university campus, not down the street in another state, though I suspect it's a similar experience. And I remember in the heart of the day, a sea of students coming and going. And I noticed in this sea of students, seemingly, all of them sporting earbuds and seemingly being terribly alone in a vast crowd. I didn't witness the interaction or the recognition or even an attempt to understand one another. Of course, now the digital herd of cattle mills about, right? Aimlessly. Never measuring up to the smiles and to the photos of others, we can be terribly alone in the digital crowd. Coming and going, going and coming, doing it all over again, mindlessly meandering, seeking the next sensation, hoping some pleasure is around the corner. Well, today, the day that we call good is the one, and it's the only key to interpreting the world. It is the one and only key to interpreting our existence. That's your life and that's my life. The death of the eternal Word of God made flesh is the lens through which we are to see everything. It's the only lens through which we can peer that enables clarity to be experienced in a life that is otherwise riddled with contradictions. The cross of Christ does what? It puts due value on everything, not merely religious activity, but everything. Who we are and everything we do and who it is that we become finds true worth and value under the cross of Christ. and nowhere else. In the cross, and our blessed Lord, who hung upon it for us and for our salvation, everything finds true measure. He was lifted up upon it. Why? That he might draw all people, and that he might draw all things precisely to himself. Friends, let's not kid ourselves. The world is sweet to the lips, but bitter to the taste. It easily delights at first, but that doesn't last. It looks happy on the outside, but treachery and misery and difficulty lurks within it. The surface is simply that, fool's gold. The cross of Christ doesn't lie on the surface. It rises from the center. Truth, dear friends, never is to be found on the surface of things, but only in its depths. And how so many of us know that to be true. A concluding remark. While the cross of Christ, while it causes us sadness, and understandably so, ours is not a sad religion. The psalmist utters, "They who sow in tears will reap in joy." And our Lord himself promises that those who mourn, they will be comforted. Let no one leave here with a false impression that the gospel makes us take a gloomy view of the world and a gloomy view of life. That is not our gospel that we have received. The cross saves us from being swept away by whimsical, superficial, mindless living, like only eating cotton candy. We rightly sorrow with Christ's suffering. We don't gloss over them. We don't ignore them altogether. And in considering Christ's suffering and the sorrow we have, it gives rise to a happiness that is far more profound and far more enduring than the world can ever offer. Jesus says to his followers, that means to you and that means to me, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your heart, it will rejoice, says the Lord. And your joy, no one will ever take from you. Those are his words. And he says again, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. And I give you my peace, not as the world gives it to you, to which we can exclaim, thanks be to God. The cross of Christ, which rightly is smack before our attention today. It heralds our redemption, as well as telling of God's sufferings. It's a suffering love, an utterly perfect love, expressly born by God for us and for our salvation.